Our Father and our God, we thank you again for this opportunity this morning to worship you. And as you are hearing our prayers this morning, Father, for those on our prayer focus and for our nation and for those that aren't on the prayer focus, Father, hear our prayers, intervene like only you can, glorify your name. Pray for Richard and Kathy this morning as they embark on their second Sunday in a new church and a new place. Will you bless them and guide them again today? And all the other pastors in our region, in our neighborhoods, Father, will you lead by your Spirit to bring glory to your great name? There are those that are on our prayer focus that are sick, Lord. There are those that have lost loved ones. Had funerals again this week. There'll be funerals again next week. Father, will you do a work in hearts and lives that maybe have drifted, wandered far from you? Will you do a work, Father, of bringing them back to you? Will you do a work in the church, Heavenly Father, of revival? Help us who maybe we have even unknowingly become lukewarm, to be set on fire with the Holy Spirit of God again for you. May we be light, salt, like Jesus commanded. May we bring glory to your name together with your church. But there are those that are sick, Lord, and so we want to lift them up to you and ask for your touch, your comfort. We know that it is by your hand healing and miracles happen. And so we commit these, our loved ones, our friends, our neighbors to you, and ask for a touch of the Master's hand. We pray again this morning, Heavenly Father, for those that don't have any time for you. Will you help their eyes to be opened and their ears attentive to the Holy Spirit of God, to know your great love, to know that the blood has been shed for all of us, to know that your grace, O God, is available for all of us, and to receive by faith Jesus Christ as Lord. Maybe there are those even that are sitting in churches this morning, Lord. They know about you, but they don't know you as Lord. Will you do a work? Will you speak to their hearts all over America? All over our community, maybe even in this church. Will you speak to hearts this morning, Father? Help them to know I've got one more step, a step of surrendered faith in Jesus Christ. Will you help them with that, Father? Thank you for being so patient with us, so loving, so kind, so merciful. Thank you for yesterday. Thank you for the effort that went into that and the results. Thank you, Father. Thank you for each person here. Use us, Father, to bring you glory. Help us to have a good day today because we're going to celebrate you in baptism. We're going to continue to worship you in our services. Help us to have a good day in you. I pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Let me just say one more fun fact before we start, because there are a number of Gideons that are in our midst. A number of you, we have Gideons come every year, and there are a number of our people that are Gideons. I've just learned this morning that tomorrow in the brand new motel in Staples, they'll be placing Gideon Bibles. And so may we remember, and I should have prayed about that too just now, but may we remember to pray for those Gideon Bibles that are placed there to reach somebody someday for Jesus. It'll happen. When God's people pray and His Word goes forth, He said it won't return void. It'll happen. So, Today is our annual river baptism. I was wondering for the last couple of 3 weeks or month even if we were going to have it. I knew that people had said to me, I want to be baptized, but I hadn't heard from them lately. And so I was wondering up until just a few days ago, are we going to have a baptism? And we are. One whole family, dad, mom, son, and daughter are all going to be baptized. I think that is so wonderful. And there may be others. And the reason I say there may be others, because when the Holy Spirit encountered Philip, you know the story, I'm not going to refer to it today in Scripture, but it's there. And Philip come alongside the Ethiopian eunuch, and the Ethiopian eunuch was looking at Isaiah, trying to figure out who Isaiah was talking about. When that whole conversation got done, the Ethiopian eunuch saw water, and knowing he had recognized who Isaiah was talking about when he was talking about the Christ, and knowing that he recognized Christ Jesus as Lord, he saw that water and he said, "What doth hinder me from being baptized?" And he was baptized on the spot. And so I say today, I know of one family I am baptizing. There may be more. If the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to your heart today, and you haven't surrendered completely to Him, you know about Him up here, but you haven't brought Him here, today is the day. And we would love to baptize you right along with His family when we get down there a little later. You see, friends, eternity depends on the name we just sung about, Jesus. Amen? Amen? It's not about how good I am or how hard I've worked or a title or anything else. It's not about church membership. I've told you this 100 times. It's about Jesus. It's about believing in Him as the Son of God, as the Messiah, believing that I am, in fact, a sinner and I need a Savior, and Jesus is the Savior. And until I receive Him by faith, John 1:12, until I receive Him, believe and receive equals sons of God. And so if you're here this morning and you're wondering, is my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Have I been born again? The Scripture tells us how to do that. We must do that to be part of His kingdom. To repent of our sins, to believe in Him as Savior and receive Him by faith, and the grace of God is bestowed upon us, and He welcomes us as His child. And when we do that, according to Scripture, and I'm going to give us a couple of models today, we should be baptized, because that's what they did in the New Testament. And so if that happens to you today, you tell me between now and the river time, and we'll include you in baptism too. In Acts chapter 2, we see the Holy Spirit had been poured out. This is Pentecost. And Holy Spirit-filled Peter was proclaiming to the masses Jesus that day. Now I think you all recognize Pentecost falls 50 days after the feast that Jesus was crucified on, Passover. And so we've got this time frame. There was 50 days between them. 40 days, Jesus was still with the people intermittently, ministering to His disciples, giving them instructions. And in that 40 days, He gave them the Great Commission. Matthew 28:19-20. Do you remember that, brothers and sisters? Work with me here. Don't fall asleep yet. We just started. During that 40 days, He gave the Great Commission to go and make disciples. You got to go and do something about this. And then He said, and baptize them. And so during that 40 days, this is after the resurrection of Jesus that He gave that commission to go and make disciples and baptize them. 50 days later, the Holy Spirit comes. This is after His death and resurrection. And on that day, Peter is proclaiming with power and authority, Jesus. And when he gets done with his presentation, I'm just going to touch on it because it's fairly lengthy. It's Acts 2:14-38. When he gets done with his presentation of Jesus, he tells them, you must repent of your sin and be baptized. This is the first time that this command of Jesus, that this commission of Jesus was played out. He commissioned the disciples, go and make disciples and baptize them. This is the first time this would have been played out. So here's the story in Acts 2. I'm going to give you some verses. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." And so you know the story. The Holy Spirit was poured out. They were speaking in tongues. They were speaking in other languages, and people understood their languages, and yet many of them thought it was gibberish, and they thought they were drunk. And so that's what Peter is addressing then. And then he addresses how Joel said he's going to pour out his Spirit on humanity someday. He addresses that in 17 and 18. And then in 22, he says, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you." In other words, you have seen him. You have heard about him. "Attested to you by the miracles, by the wonders, and the signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. Him," that's Jesus, "being delivered by the determined purpose and the foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, you've crucified him, and you've put him to death, whom then God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it." And then he quotes David. "For David says concerning him," and he quotes David. We don't have time to go through all that, so let me just jump to 36 and say, "Therefore," this is Peter, "let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." In other words, men of Judea and all the surrounding region that were there that day to fellowship and worship and celebrate Pentecost, Peter cries out to them and says to them, "Men of Galilee, it is Jesus of Nazareth who is the prophesied and predicted Messiah and Christ. He has been here. Yes, he was put to death, but God raised him from the dead." And Peter says, "So know this, house of Israel, that God has made this Jesus both Lord and Christ." And when they had heard this, the Bible says they were cut to their heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do? What do we need to do about this?" You see, the Holy Spirit was at work. He was at work in people's hearts and lives. He was beckoning people, come, and Peter gave them the instructions of what to do. And they cried out, many of them, hundreds of them, thousands of them cried out with one accord, "Men and brethren, what do we do about this Jesus?" In verse 38, Peter said to them, "Repent." It starts with repentance. We must recognize Scripture is true, friends, when it says, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And Peter said, we must repent of that sin and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This act of repentance that Peter is talking about here in this verse, this act of repentance refers to a change of direction, a change of thinking, a change of behaviors, a change of attitude. This act of repentance was indicating to them, you've got to turn around and go the other way from the ways in which you've been going. And Peter charged his listeners to repent, acknowledge their sinful condition, and acknowledge their need for this Savior called Christ. That's what he called them to do that day. thousands of them. And when they did that, he said, it's time to be baptized. And so, Peter charged them that day, turn away from your sin to the one who can forgive your sin. That's what he was asking them to do that day. And when they did that, he challenged them and charged them next to be baptized. You see, brothers and sisters, all throughout Acts, and we see it very clearly here, repentance of sin is a prerequisite to baptism. I must recognize I am a sinner who needs a Savior. And Peter said the first thing we must do is repent of sin. Realize we have a Savior, but we must repent and receive Him by faith and then be baptized. This word in Acts 2:38 means to be dipped or immersed. And that's what we're going to do today, later down at the river. And so as I said to you earlier, Peter, for the first time, since he had been commanded and commissioned with the rest of the disciples, when Jesus himself said, go and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost and teach them all things, the things that I have spoken to you. Peter was now, for the first time, after that command, after that commission, he was asking people to obey that commandment. Why should we be baptized? Well, number one, Jesus commanded it in the Great Commission. Go and make disciples and then baptize them. I've told you this before over the years, that baptism signified to those people at that time there had been a conversion. For the most part, except for John the Baptist, the only thing they knew about baptism is when the Jewish people would groom and teach and have the Gentile person go through all kind of ritual and all kind of things to become a Jewish convert, the last step would be baptism. That's primarily what they knew about baptism. Baptism in that arena suggested to them that Gentile convert had arrived. They could now be a Jew or grafted in. And so Jesus was commanding them to be baptized to suggest to people, this is simply an outward display of a decision that is happening here. I have trusted Christ. I have repented of sin and trusted Christ. And be baptized to show the rest of the world I have, in fact, come to that place of trusting Christ as Lord. And so He commanded that we be baptized. And so, when should I be baptized? Well, according to these models, following the models of the New Testament, converts were normally baptized pretty much immediately upon repenting and acknowledging Jesus Christ as Lord. And so let me just say this. At some point, if we have the chance, and I realize sometimes people are in hospital beds, perhaps on deathbeds, or perhaps in places like the thief on the cross where it is impossible. But at some point, all believers, followers of Jesus Christ, should be baptized because it was commanded by Jesus to do so. At some point, we should be as baptized as believers. Not necessarily saying anything against baptizing into a denomination, but that's not what he's talking about here. At some point, we should be baptized as followers of Jesus Christ when we know what we're doing. And so, the thief on the cross didn't get that chance. And sometimes people make 11th hour decisions for Christ and they're on their deathbed and perhaps in a hospital or jail or whatever and don't get that chance. But we should, if we can, as believers who have repented of sin and received Christ, we should, if we can, be baptized to display to the rest of us an inward conversion and change. That is the instruction of Jesus. Let me say this too. I know I've said it before, but I need to say it again. I was having conversation this week about people or with people about baptism. It's not the water that saves you. Okay, you with me? People come to me oftentimes, and perhaps lots of other pastors too, and say, baptize me this, or baptize my child, or do what it, this or that about baptism. We need to understand, brothers and sisters, it is not the water that saves. If we have put our faith in the water, we have put our faith in the wrong place. Our faith needs to be in Christ. They were baptized because they put their faith in Christ. And so please do not be under the impression or understanding that, okay, I'll go get baptized and I'm good to go. Baptism happened because of their faith in Christ, not to be saved. And so I want us to be crystal clear about that. I was explaining that this week to some folks. I want them to be clear. And I said, I went, and the person even had some rationalizing for me. Well, at least it gets them in the door of the church. Well, that's a good point. I do like to see people come to church. But I do not want to mislead anybody in saying, yes, you're baptized, you're good to go. I want people to know Jesus. And when we know Jesus, show the rest of the people we have repented of our sin and trusted in Christ and be baptized. I do not want to mislead and say, you're baptized, all is well, no more responsibility. I don't want to convey that at all. Because that's not what baptism was in the New Testament. Time is fleeting. Let me just give us one more scripture and I'll cut out the rest because I got some more, but you get the point. Acts 19. I just want to say this because I was also questioned about this not too long ago. Acts 19, 1 through 5, I think you're familiar with this story. Let me reiterate it to you. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus on one of his missionary journeys. And finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they answered him and said, we haven't even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And so they didn't understand what he was talking about. And so then he follows up from that question with this question, into what then were you baptized? You see, Paul already knew as a disciple, he knew the commandment and the commission of God to go and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Paul knew that, and so he said to these believers at Ephesus, then what were you baptized? How were you baptized? They said, well, we were baptized in John's baptism because they had known about John the Baptizer. John the Baptizer said, repent of your sins. They knew about that, so they said, we were baptized into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with water with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should in time believe on him who would come after him. That is Jesus. John said as he baptized, you need to believe on him who would come after me and be baptized in him. And so, Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. I simply say that because that is scriptural. And somebody asked me and said to me the other day, or a while back, yeah, but scripture says one faith, one Lord, one baptism. You only need to do it once. And this person happened to be, I believe, baptized as a child. And he figured that was good enough. And he can take that up with the Lord. But my point is simply this, is being baptized a second time okay? The believers at Ephesus that day were. They were. They didn't even know what they're being baptized about the first time. And when Paul instructed them, you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus, the Bible says when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so, is being baptized a second time okay? They were that day. So I would say it's okay. These believers in Ephesus were, when they understood what it meant to be baptized unto Christ, they were baptized another time. And so, there's more scripture on baptism. There's lots of it. I refer to different ones, different years, and you've, I'm sure, no doubt heard it already. But let me just say this. Why do we baptize? Because we're commanded to do so. What is baptism? It's simply an outward expression of showing an inward decision has been made. That is the New Testament model. And so when should we do it? Well, they did it mostly in the New Testament as soon as they had repented of sin and committed their lives to Christ. Will I get to heaven if I've never been baptized? The thief on the cross was, but that is because he acknowledged Jesus Christ as Lord. That's why Jesus said to him that day, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Not because he was baptized or because he wasn't. Not because he was a church member or because he wasn't. Because he acknowledged Christ as Lord that day. And so that's what heaven is all about. Not water, but Jesus. Remember potluck lunch after the second service, baptism at the river right after that. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you for being so willing to save us from our sin. Thank you for commanding and commissioning, Lord Jesus, that we should be baptized as followers of you, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the opportunity today to do that for some folks later on. Father, I just pray again that you would go with us this day, that you would guide, most importantly, guide us to you. If we're wondering about our salvation, forgiveness of sin, being born again, all of that stuff, I pray, O God, we just come to you humbly as a little child in repentant faith and say, Jesus, forgive me. Come into my life. Come into my heart. Take control. Lead me in your ways. I want to follow you. And so, Father, I just pray that you would lead us to you through faith in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. Go with us this day. Help us to have a wonderful rest of the day. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.